Duval Republicans are already gearing up for 2020 and getting President Trump reelected. Good morning and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Palumbo in for Melissa Ross. We're always live here at 9. We replay the show at 8 every evening here on 89.9, and you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or listen anytime at wjct.org. Just ahead, Duval County Republicans are rallying behind the president with their brand new Trump Club. It meets for the first time this weekend. What are your questions for the local GOP? Join our conversation now. Call us at 549-2937. Then later, medicine vending machines are popping up around town and local pharmacists are behind them. Plus, this is some true March Madness. Sports analyst Cole Pepper is here to talk about the NCAA tournament's history-making weekend. All of that and more coming up. But first this hour, the 2020 election is still well over 2 years away, but supporters of President Donald Trump are wasting no time getting ready for what could be a close re-election race. Trump clubs are places where the president's supporters are getting together to start building momentum now. Duval's Trump Club will be holding its inaugural meeting this Saturday. Joining us now, our Duval Trump Club president, Jim Davis. Welcome, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Duval County Republican Party Chair, Karen Morton. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
First of all, Jim, what is a Trump Club and who should join?
The Duval Republican Trump Club is an organization that we support the president. We support the president's agenda. We want to constantly work with the public within our sphere of influence to represent what he's doing and to basically find new folks that want to support him and get him reelected in 2020.
Now, we had a comment on our Facebook page. We're soliciting comments there at WJCT's First Coast Connect Facebook page. One of them was, why a Trump Club? Isn't that just called the Republican Party? Why a separate Trump Club?
I think the reason is that let me put it to you like this. When we announced that we had a grassroots office when Donald Trump was running in the primary, we had an open house. We expected 200 or 300 people. We had, I don't know how many, but we had thousands of people. But here's the thing, they didn't come and get their bumper sticker, they didn't get their yard sign. They came and they stayed. I mean, all day. It got to the point where, guys, it's 10 o'clock, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We were literally passing somebody's hat to get money for pizza. We didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. But that's the degree of support that the president has here on the First Coast.
Now, were those people, did you find that a lot of those people had been lifelong Republicans, or were they just coming out because they were attracted by Donald Trump, the candidate?
Both. There were people, because it was the primary, we didn't have all the Republicans in there, but what we had was we had people that were mom and pops and, you know, just regular people that you don't normally see in Republican circles or in political circles, and they were there because they were excited because they felt like this is the candidate that is going to represent me, all right? And we've found still that there's a large degree of support, an excited degree of support for the president, and this is a way to accommodate that enthusiasm.
I remember when Trump, the candidate, came to Jacksonville just days before the election, I attended a rally at the Equestrian Center on the west side of
Wasn't
town.
Wasn't that amazing?
With a line wrapping as far as the eye could see. Very, very passionate supporters there.
I went to the same event. And I'll tell you this, it took me 3 hours to get out of the parking lot. So that's the degree of support there is for the president here on the First Coast.
Now, according to a new Wall Street Journal poll, Trump's approval rating nationwide is 43%. That number has been rising. Before 2020, we have elections this November to worry about. So let's talk about that for a second, Karen.
Okay,
so in some places, Trump carried. Democrats have been winning elections, and that has progressives optimistic for what they're hoping is a blue wave in this midterm election. So how concerned is the local GOP about that?
Well, actually, the local GOP is not really concerned at all about that. And the reason for it is that if you take a look at these races where the couple of races that the Democrats have won, they have been unusual circumstances. The Republican candidates have been somewhat flawed, shall we say, and the Democrat candidates, especially this last race right here in Pennsylvania, the Democrat candidate came out as a strong conservative and a pro-life person. And a lot of I think a lot of Democrats who voted for him didn't even realize, oh, gosh, guess what? So they were very, very skewed. The candidates were unusual. It's not typical at all. Here in Duval County, when you're looking at our races coming up for 2018, we have good, solid Republicans on the ballot. Most of them at the state level for our state House races and our state Senate races. They have excellent track records. People like them. People trust them. So we've got a lot of support there, and I'm not concerned about that at all. Statewide candidates for governor and the cabinet, that's going to be an interesting race, but I still think we've got a lot of candidates that we're going to be choosing from on the Republican side.
Right.
And I think we'll be strong when we come to November.
Well, speaking of the governor's race, Trump has endorsed Northeast Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis for governor. So is that the local GOP's official pick as well, or are you still waiting to see?
No, as far as the official GOP pick, that is determined by the primary election. Until then, the GOP does not really take a stand. I think there will be a lot of grassroots support behind Congressman DeSantis for that race. But the nomination is what tells us.
Now, what are your questions for the local GOP about the new Duval Trump Club? Join us at 549-2937. The phones are open. So as the Trump Club is getting up and running here, we have a backdrop of a very busy news cycle involving the president, right? He's being investigated for possible obstruction of justice in his firing of FBI Director James Comey. His business organization is being examined as part of the investigation into Russian meddling in the election. And he's suing a porn star who says she was paid to stay quiet. Now, Jim, you've been a conservative activist for a long time. How does this president compare to other elected officials you've rallied behind?
Politics is politics. I believe that all the things that you've just mentioned, I believe that's all opposition politics, okay? If something comes forward and there's a crime prosecuted, then my opinion will change. But until then, they're all accusations, and you know as well as I do, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And that's the way I see that. If somebody proves something, if there's a prosecution, then I'll reevaluate.
Okay. So lots of things that are a distraction, though, as you're rallying behind
it's not
this.
It's not a distraction for me. It's not a distraction for the supporters of Donald Trump.
Right.
In fact, I can tell you this. When we see those things, those accusations, if we don't believe them, which most of them we do not, as a collective, as individuals, then what that does is that galvanizes us to support the president even more.
Karen?
If you take a look at how this all these allegations started even prior to his being inaugurated, it's been over a year. The initial allegations were that he was somehow colluding with the Russians, and now all indications show that that was actually done through the Hillary Clinton campaign and through the Obama White House. The allegations are obviously false. And so now the Democrat Party seems to be moving toward anything else that they can grasp on. Mueller in his special prosecutor role feels that he can go off and into whatever tangent. And they just keep trying to keep the waters turning until they pray that they can find something. It's been almost a year and a half now. Enough is enough.
Yeah, well, just over the weekend, Mueller did subpoena records from Trump's business organization. So that investigation is very much alive. But we, as you say, don't know what will come of that yet.
Right, right.
So now a comment from Facebook. This comes from Melissa and not Melissa Ross on her vacation. This Melissa writes, there is currently such divisiveness within the GOP between pro and anti-Trump. Indeed, we've heard from registered Republicans on this very show who have a hard time supporting Trump. So, Karen, are you seeing that in the local GOP?
We do see some. There's always, I think that's true no matter what. I don't care who's in office, and I don't care which party it is. There's always that segment that is not thrilled with the current administration or that particular office holder. But by and large, no. Obviously, Trump carried Duval County. His support continues to grow here in Duval County, and not just from Republicans, but one of the things that is very, very nice about the new Trump clubs is that we are attracting all Trump supporters, be they registered Republicans or not.
Right.
And we do get them. It's not unusual to have a Democrat or an MPA who is a Trump supporter. So as things continue, as his policies continue to take effect in the United States, obviously the improvement in the economy and the effects of the new tax reform bills, people are seeing that, hey, maybe what he said was true. Oh my gosh, look at this paycheck. I got an extra $50. I got an extra $100, whatever. It does make a difference. And people are starting to see that some of that rhetoric and some of that nonsense that was handed out during the campaigns, as it always is wasn't really true. And the support is increasing.
Now, Jim, we have another Facebook comment from Joe who says, I registered Republican in order to rid the party of the kind of elected officials who think like this. So what is your pitch to somebody like Joe? Why would he want to join the Trump Club?
I don't understand. He joined the Republican Party
to rid the party of the kind of elected officials who think of this. So he's against Trump.
You know, here's my question. I'm going to answer his question with a question. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Republican, you only join the Republican Party to create an upset, then quite frankly, I'm not a politician. I'll just say it. Why should your opinion matter to the Republican Party if you join the Republican Party just to create an upset?
Yeah, I don't really understand the question either. If you join the Republican Party to fight against somebody who doesn't think Trump's way, Trump is pretty much following the Republican platform and principles. I don't really totally understand that question. Something's skewed there.
Well, there are some rumblings that someone, and perhaps it's Republican Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, might mm-hmm. challenge Trump in a Republican primary. Perhaps someone like Joe is supporting that candidate instead. So what would that mean for the Trump Club?
Doesn't mean anything for us. Jeff Flake is on his way out. He didn't run for reelection. He would not have been reelected.
Right.
Let me say this. In 2010, pollster Scott Rasmussen did a study, and what he found was, in America, there is a divide. It's not the divide between Republican and Democrat. It's not the divide between pro-life, pro-choice, black, white. There's a divide in America that is predicated on people in America who think the government should facilitate the American people and people who think the government should run the American people or dictate to the American people. And that's the divide in America, all right? Most politicians who have been politicians for a long time, they're part of the former group. They are the latter group. They think, look, we got elected. We're the legislatures, and what we say goes, and you should be able to live with that until the next election. And there are people in America that say, no, man, that's just not right. And that's why people like Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump were so attractive in their own parties. Bernie Sanders was the Donald Trump of the Democrat Party. And by the way, had that primary run, honestly, he would have won that primary.
So you're saying people on both sides of the aisle were saying we're sick of the same old thing.
I'm saying that not in the aisle as in Congress, but they're the American people are tired of being dictated to by the government, right?
Right.
So after Trump was elected, let's go back in our minds to 2017, early 2017. Many women mobilized against what they saw as his anti-woman policies or even just his offensive behavior towards women. And Karen, I want to ask you this. When you saw the Women's March in D.C. the day after the inauguration, did you understand where those women were coming from?
Politically, I understood where they were coming from. I mean, these were the ultra left, I would call them, people who were avid Hillary supporters who were extremely upset that their candidate had lost, and I understand that. I was appalled as a woman, regardless of party, just as a woman, I was appalled at the behavior, at the vulgarities, at those vulgar costumes that they continue to wear. It is just, it is the kind of thing that drags down the morality in our society. And I was, it was a shame. It was truly a shame. It's like going back, if you go back into the 60s, you know, I'm an old lady compared to you. And when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, early 60s is when the NOW organization appeared, and women went out and fought for equality, and which was, you know, on its surface, a really good thing. There were other, it's like everything else in some of these the organizations that get started, the regular people join the organization because they believe that the obvious message is a good one. You know, like we deserve equality, we deserve to be paid attention to. But there were all kinds of underlying things that were really trying to take hold. And so you saw women out burning bras and chaining themselves to the front of Capitol buildings and that kind of thing. For most women, that was absurd. But they got in the news and and that's really what all this is about. They got in the news. They got their point across. They got to display that kind of behavior. And to me, again, it was a shame. It was just an absolute shame.
Well, when you're talking about vulgar costumes, I assume you mean a hat of a certain female body part, perhaps?
A hat or an entire, the people had them on that were like kind of like dresses.
Okay.
That's pretty much what I'm talking about, yeah.
So those women would say they were wearing that in protest of comments that the president himself made on video.
I'm sure they
did,
yes.
That he said, I would grab a woman by that part. And that's what they were protesting.
That supposedly is what they were protesting, although they seemed very thrilled to be able to wear the costumes anywhere they went. But that's what they said. I don't really want to rehash that. A private conversation that someone had taped was released. You have a private conversation between two guys standing in Hollywood, California, playing their one-upsmanship and having some kind of backroom, locker room type of conversation, and somebody releases it to the public. People can interpret that any way they want, but enough's enough. You know, there's very few people in the world who haven't had those kinds of conversations, and quite frankly, take a bunch of women and put us together. Have us go out for coffee, or you're smiling. I'll tell you what happens. You know, we have those same kinds of conversations going the other direction. So give me a break.
All right. So we had the Women's March, but still, the majority of white women specifically did vote for Trump. Today, polls show Trump's support among white women is slipping a bit. And at the same time, his support among minorities remains quite low. And that's after he's offended many by not condemning white supremacists, for example, or making comments disparaging to immigrants. So how does the Duval Republican Party plan to appeal to minority Republican voters and make sure women also show up to vote? Jim.
The answer is, look at what he's doing. You remember when President Clinton was in trouble and the economy was humming, they came up with the slogan, "It's the economy, stupid." All right? And the reality is, people will understand that they got raises on their checks without even getting a raise. They're paying fewer taxes. Fuel prices are reasonable. We're safer. Where the entire situation in America is almost a 180 of what it was a year and a half ago. Okay? People can be stirred up. People can be offended. But the reality is, are you going to hire a manager or are you going to call a pastor? Donald Trump, I did not call him to be a pastor. I called him to be the chairman, the president of the United States, and he's doing a smash-bang-up job. You know, I've worked for people that I've been loyal to and didn't like them at all, personally. But, you know, they were the best for the company, and the things they were doing was working for the company. And if you like people to have jobs, and you like your taxes to continue to be lowered, and you like people to go back to work, all right? How many houses are you seeing backfilled? Do you remember a year and a half ago? Neighborhoods were being emptied out because people couldn't pay their mortgages. And it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And just the fact that people knew that the administration was going to change, even before they knew who the next administration would be, the economy got better in anticipation of a change of the guard. And when the change of the guard became Donald Trump, people can not like his person, but he's doing a damn good job.
All right, we have Chuck joining us on the line from the beaches. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to make a comment. I voted for Donald Trump, and I'd like your guests to comment. We talk about the deplorables. We talk about clinging to your guns and clinging to God and your religion. And then the latest comment from Hillary was that most of the women in the Republican Party only voted the way they did because their husbands and their bosses and their children told them what to do. And I'll make this comment that when I turn on CNN and everybody who lives between New York City and Los Angeles turns on CNN, they only have to watch it for about 1 minute. And the next thought in their mind is, I can't wait to get in my truck and go vote for Trump. Thanks for letting me share.
That's been my experience.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly. That last comment about the women. Thank you, Chuck, for bringing that up. The comment about the women. How we were told by our husbands, and oh my goodness, how condescending. That's exactly why nobody wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's fascinating to me.
Now, let's talk about the Trump Club some more. This is starting this weekend for the first time.
The 24th, 6 p.m.
24th, Saturday evening, 6 p.m., and that is at the Salem Center on Bonneville Road on
that
the south
right.
side. Salem
Karen
Center.
Karen knows the address.
7235 Bonneville, and they can go to either the DuvalGOP.com or to Eventbrite and just type in Trump. That'll bring it right up.
So RSVPs are required to
RSVPs
attend?
RSVPs are good to attend so that we make sure we've got enough food for everybody. And, you know, we've arranged for the space. But attendance is free. Once they get there, Anybody who wishes to join the Trump Club may do so. You know, the dues are extremely low for an annual dues, but we would love people to participate, whether they decide to join as a member right away or not.
Okay, so is that an additional membership if you're already in the Duval GOP?
Yeah, the Duval GOP is not a membership. You know, that's party. You're actually a precinct committee man or woman if you are part of the, quote, Duval GOP. This is a club, and the club needs, you know, a little bit of funds to operate and hold their meetings and pay for a venue and that kind of thing.
Okay, so before we wrap up, Jim, just tell us briefly what can we expect if we wanted to come out on Saturday evening.
If you come out on Saturday, you're going to be involved with a bunch of like-minded people who are going to be just as excited about the president, about getting him reelected as you are, all right? You're going to have the opportunity to meet some, to listen to a speaker who is an adamant Trump supporter. He travels around the country and literally does cheering committees for the president. You're going to enjoy this day. You are. We're going to have some of the best hot dogs, all beef hot dogs I've ever eaten.
Jim loves those hot dogs.
I do love those hot dogs. And you know, the reality is, here's what you're going to get. You're going to become encouraged. You're going to be enthusiastic. And when you leave there, you're going to know things are not as bleak as the media tries to make them out
Absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much to Duval County GOP Chair Karen Morton and Trump Club President Jim Davis. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
There is much more still ahead. Later, a series of films about music launches this week at Sunray Cinema. But up next, a Jacksonville company is making vending machines that offer mini sizes of what you'd get at the pharmacy. Back in a moment.
You've seen him on the PBS NewsHour with Judy Woodruff. Now join news anchor Hari Srinivasan for an in-depth discussion titled How to Respectfully Disagree Agree, Thursday, April 19th at the WJCT Studios. VIP reception at 6 with a discussion at 7:30. Tickets for the event are $25. To purchase tickets and for more information, go to wjct.org/events.
Follow what's happening at WJCT even when you're away from your radio. Get the latest news, event updates, and see what happens behind the scenes. You can follow WJCT on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Wherever you are, WJCT is there.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state.
About the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
Many people in Jacksonville never come in contact with those outside their core communities. WJCT is embarking on a journey called Beyond the Core to start a citywide conversation about what unites the people who call Duval County home and what makes our smaller communities unique. We might have an upcoming Beyond the Core listening event in your neighborhood. Check WJCTnews.org to find out. Welcome back. So do you ever have a headache and just need a couple of aspirin, not a whole bottle? Or maybe you're at the gym and you forgot your headphones or your hairband? Well, a Jacksonville company that started 2 years ago is offering vending machines with these types of items. Three local pharmacists started the company called Medic, and one of them, Garlene Atchison, joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being here. So where did this idea come from? It seems like such a straightforward idea that should have happened forever ago.
Actually, we got the idea from the emergence of the healthy snacks vending industry that has come along the last few years. And while I love to eat snacks, I wasn't that interested in going into that area. But it, you know, the idea, how would it work if we did over-the-counter medications. Mm-hmm. And so one of the barriers was that how would the patient be able to examine the drugs and know if they were able to take it? But with vending in the last few years, technology has increased.
Yeah.
So now we are able to blend vending with digital media. And so we had a way to merge those two. And that's where we came up with Medic.
Okay. So does that mean that when you're standing in front of the machine, you can kind of like virtually read the labels of these things?
Actually, yes. Our Medic machines, we actually have two right now, and we'll be getting a third later this summer. Our main machine, the largest machine, has a 46-inch screen. And actually, you make the selection, and you also can read the actual drug label, and it's right there for the customer to touch it, to read it, to evaluate if they're able to take it, and then they can complete their purchases.
Okay, so what is in one of these vending machines? What are they called, first of all?
We call them the 24/7 convenience centers.
Okay.
There's a digital, there's an automated, and as I mentioned before, later this summer, we'll have a mini.
A mini.
Right. This one will actually only have about 10 items, and it'll be on a wall mount, but it also will have a digital screen for information and selection.
Okay. So tell me about some of the items that are available.
Wow. We have about 10 categories with over 50 health and personal care items available to be customized in the machines. Of course, we have the over-the-counter medications such as Tylenol, Advil, Tums, Pepto-Bismol, 5-Hour Energy Drink. As far as personal care items, we carry deodorant, mouthwash, toothpaste, Listerine, pocket packs, you know, just the gamut. And like I said, we can customize according to location. We have some at a gym area. And we have socks, hair ties, things people need when those little situations come up in life. And it's just like, I don't have it. So we're there to give them what you need.
And these are all mini or travel size items?
Yes. Actually, that's what's a little unique about Medic. We do it in convenient and trial sizes. And that way, you know, person doesn't feel like you have to purchase such a large amount. We found through our pharmacy practice that a lot of people would run in and they're like, do you have an antihistamine? I didn't take my dose this morning. We would point to one on the shelf. I don't need that many.
Yeah.
I just need one dose to get me through the day. So
where are these machines already right now?
Right now, we are at Beaver Street Enterprise Center. We're at Winston Family YMCA. We're at Best Bet, both Jacksonville and Orange Park. We're at Raven Transport. And our newest machine is in Baptist South's new employee lounge.
Okay. Okay. So I'm thinking of places with vending machines that would sell junk food. So are you looking to expand into more places? Like, are you going to be in our break rooms or the hallway of a hotel or an apartment complex?
That is exactly the plan. You just named three areas on the list. We are speaking with other corporate and manufacturing entities to put in their break room for employees. We actually are finishing up negotiating with a hotel here in town. So again, fitness centers, college campuses, especially the dormitories for a safety issue. It's there in case someone has an emergency at night, which we all know that's when emergencies occur a lot. So they could get what they need until the daytime. Large transportation terminals, so convention centers, everywhere life situations or inconveniences could pop up. That's where we'll be with the convenience centers.
Can you tell me, where does this fit into the trend, like the trend in vending right now?
Vending, you're seeing everything now, either the vending machines or the automated retail centers, which are larger vending machines. And so we are a part of that trend, being able to offer people what they need outside of the traditional brick and mortar. So we're definitely a part of this trend. It's moving toward that.
Now, your company has been around for just 2 years now.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the journey so far?
The journey has been great. It's been interesting. You mentioned, all the founders, we're pharmacists, mm-hmm. With a combined pharmacy experience over 60 years. I actually would be a pharmacist 30 years in August. So pharmacy is what we know. So it's been interesting coming out from behind the pharmacy counter, learning vending. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we always joke and say, hey, if this doesn't work out, we can go get us a route, you know, with Coke or Pepsi. But it's just something different, but it's been great. Jacksonville, we are two of us are Jacksonville natives. And just to see Jacksonville growing in the direction the city is going and to have something new and be a part of that, it's been great.
All right. So what is the next step for Medic?
The next step is to continue to grow in Northeast Florida and be able to offer the public, you know, access to these machines. So that is our biggest step. And then also, because we have the screens, we offer messaging or advertising in some of the units that the locations agree upon. And so we're going to expand that more. And it's only health, wellness, and fitness advertising that we allow. So we are going to branch more into that area. We feel like that's important because the consumer is at the point of sale. And so if it is an issue, stop being acute and become chronic. We're there to offer information. You know, we have wonderful health systems in Jacksonville, physicians and other medical wellness, fitness entities, so they would be able to get information on the machines.
What about expanding outside of Northeast Florida?
That is definitely in our sights also. So we think very soon, because we've had a few inquiries, that's something that we plan to develop moving forward.
Okay. Well, the company is Medic, and the vending machines are 24-hour convenience centers, right?
That's it, yes.
And they are already in hospitals and places where people work and looking to expand to more places. So thank you so much, Garlene Atchison, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Just ahead, Avant Music with two local events they're hosting. We'll be right back after this break.
We've updated the WJCT app to make it even better. Stay up to date with local and national NPR news from your phone or tablet. Listen live to First Coast Connect or any of your favorite radio programs. Stay connected and informed. Download the WJCT app today. Available at the Apple App Store and Google Play.
I'm David Luckin, host of the Electro Lounge, inviting you to join me Tuesday through Saturday nights on 89.9 when we bring you music from around the world. All styles played, all songs considered. Join me for the Electro Lounge, Tuesday through Saturday nights.
Take a drive with us into the Blues Horizon every Monday and Wednesday night at 11. The best in classic and modern blues as part of WJCT's After Hours. Every Monday and Wednesday night at 11 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world, your music.
I don't want no woman telling me what to do.
Welcome back. My guest now is Keith Marks, the executive director of Avant. Welcome, Keith.
Good morning.
Keith, first of all, what is Avant?
Avant is a 501c3 nonprofit here in Northeast Florida. We've done a number of concerts bringing artists from out of town, New York, Venezuela. And we now are a radio show on WJCT every week, every Thursday evening at 11 p.m. You can listen to Avant Radio. We do educational programming and we are launching a film series.
Okay, just a few things.
Just like, you know, just one or two.
Okay, so the film series is launching this week at Sunray. And this is Wednesday evening?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday okay. at 7 p.m.
What will you be showing?
Our first film, we wanted to do something that sort of touched all generations, all people. So we're doing the Monterey Pop Festival documentary. It's the 50th anniversary, and they've reissued the print. They've cleaned it up. So Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Otis Redding, Lou Rawls, Ravi Shankar. The Grateful Dead were there. They're not in the film. They didn't sign the paperwork. They thought it would be too commercial. But so, yeah, this is a throwback to 1967.
Okay. So what can we expect from this film for those of us unfamiliar with it?
Well, this film is the first major concert film that was ever produced. So this is a kind of living historical document. A lot of people want to know kind of why we chose this film. And I think that it's important for us to, you know, celebrate and look for new music, but we also should know where we come from. And so this film is hopefully going to educate a lot of people who aren't familiar with these artists. So it's a good time, and it's an educational thing, and it's also, it rocks.
All right. So what happens after this film? You said it's the first in a series that you're launching. What is the idea for the whole series?
So the series is going to be focused on music-related films. So we've been looking at a number of documentaries and also just music, music-related in some way. So the idea is to build a community around people who are kind of music geeks and want to dive deep, and hopefully they'll dive deep with Avant.
All right, and that is... Wednesday evening at Sunray Cinema. That's 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And regular ticket?
Yep, regular ticket prices. If people want more information about Avant or the film series or the radio show, they can go into avantcurious.org, where curious music for curious minds is our tagline.
All right. And those curious about hip-hop have another event that you are hosting coming up at Art Walk. Tell us about that.
We're working with Shawana over at the Makerspace at the Downtown Library. We've done a couple events with her, and she's asked us to come in and do something else. So we were thinking about, with the exhibit that's happening right now with the street art exhibit, she asked us to do something. So I've reached out to sort of our heads of state in the hip-hop community, Willie Evans Jr. and Peyton Locke. And they're going to be doing a workshop around beat making, and also kind of, we're going to screen a film, a documentary about the ABs, which is a hip-hop group that really put Jacksonville on the map for hip-hop in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Very cool. So another documentary about music, mm-hmm. and that is going to be during Art Walk?
Yep, that'll be during Art Walk in April. They can come out. We'll be there the whole Art Walk doing screening the film and doing different talks and playing music, and it's coming together right now. So it's still, all the threads are still coming together.
All right. So that's Art Walk Wednesday, April 4th coming up, and this program specifically in the Makerspace Gallery at the Jacksonville Public Library. And that gallery, that is downstairs?
That's the one, if you come on street level onto Laura, you go straight back, and it's that area in there, which is the Jacksonville Makerspace. And for anybody who hasn't been in there, Shawana and her team has been doing a fantastic job of making that a community space. So please check it out.
And I need to get over there still to see the street art exhibit that is there.
It is cool. It is really neat what they're doing over there.
And tell us what you have coming up on Avant Radio.
Well, so Avant Radio, we have a number of different things. We were able to, we've actually started getting people from who are national, international artists reaching out to us. So our guest curation, we've had Courtney Lewis from the Symphony on there, and Philip Pan, and John Citroni, and Dan Brown, Arvid Smith, and now the pianist who was just at the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall, George Winston. We were able to get him on the show. He's guest curating the show.
I love George Winston.
Oh, okay. So he's on the show. He's coming up, and we've got a number of different great episodes coming up.
And Avant is what time?
Thursday nights at 11. You can catch Avant Radio.
Thursday nights at 11 here on 89.9. That's Keith Marks, founder of Avant. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Jessica.
We will be right back with Cole and sports just after this break.
Community hospice and palliative care. Since 1979, the compassionate guide for more than 200,000 patients facing advanced illness in Northeast Florida. Today, serving 16 counties, including yours. Available 24/7 to help you and your loved one. More at choosecommunityhospice.com.
Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Personal Injury and Wrongful Death Law Firm. When people are hurt through no fault of their own, answering who, what, when, where, why, and how is critical to proving the truth. More at waynehogan.law.
What do we really know about America's new top diplomat? Mike Pompeo was first in his class at West Point. He's hawkish, and whether it's Iran, North Korea, or Jerusalem, he's on the same page as the president. What might having Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State mean for America and the world? Next time on 1A. Weekdays at 10 after First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
50 years ago, Howard University students protested at the height of the civil rights era. And one leader is watching student protests today.
It takes a long time. These people are not going to change their mind just like that. They are dug in.
That's next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
Weekdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
A new exhibit of original highwaymen paintings opens on April 6th at the Brevard Museum of History and Natural Science in Cocoa. I'm Ben Brotmarkle, and coming up on Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, we'll talk with some of the original highwaymen artists. We'll discuss the 19th century autobiography of an Englishman in Florida and talk about the Grand Army of the Republic. That's Florida Frontiers, Monday evening at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
And welcome back. Finally this hour, Cole Pepper is here with the latest in sports.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? I'm a pepper,
he's a pepper, she's Cole? A pepper.
Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Reeling from the first weekend of March Madness, which I think was about as mad as it possibly gets.
I think so.
College basketball fan, and your bracket looks good. You probably just filled it out yesterday. It was an absolutely wild first weekend of college basketball, for sure.
Yeah, I think, Cole, I don't even follow college basketball, but I even know how mad it was. That's how mad it was.
Yeah, it's, I mean, almost historic. In fact, was historic in several ways. Let's first talk about Florida and Florida State, then I'll get a little deeper into what's gone on in the big picture.
Okay.
Florida was knocked out by Texas Tech by 3 on Saturday night. The Gators had a few chances late but couldn't close the deal. Florida finishes their season 20 wins and 13 losses, a disappointing season after they made the Elite Eight last year, and at one point in the season they found themselves ranked 5th in the country, but they just couldn't have that consistency. The good news for Florida is they've got a lot of guys returning for next year, some good recruits coming in. They should be a top 20 team next year, but it will be important for them to get that bounce back. Florida State, on the other hand, did what was becoming sort of commonplace. They pulled a big upset, knocking off the top seed Xavier in Nashville last night, 75-70. At one point, Florida State was down by 12 points, but came back to win. So they'll move on to face the fourth seed Gonzaga, team that played for the national championship last year. They'll play Thursday in the West Regional in Los Angeles, and if they win that game, Florida State would advance to take on the winner of Michigan and Texas A&M for a spot in the Final Four. Upsets everywhere, though.
Everywhere.
None bigger than Maryland Baltimore County beating number one seed and the number one overall team in the country, Virginia, in the first round. Before that happened, no 16 seed had ever beaten the number one seed in the men's basketball tournament.
Were you watching that game, Cole?
I was. I will tell you, I sort of deal with college basketball like an IV plugged in. Just like I put every possible screen in front of me to watch every possible game. I love this time of year. And when Maryland Baltimore County they were hanging around in the first half with Virginia. Then they just smoked him in the second half, won by 20. I mean, this is an upset, but the way it happened is so remarkable. Their run, though, ended when Kansas State beat them yesterday. But hats off to Maryland Baltimore County. Another Cinderella whose run continues is Loyola Chicago. And I think so far that the star of the tournament has to be Loyola Chicago's 98-year-old nun who picked them into the Sweet 16, and has been sort of the favorite go-to interview during the game. Loyola Chicago now into the Sweet 16. Syracuse was the last team to make it, field upset Michigan State to get in. Nevada came from 22 points down to beat the second seed Cincinnati yesterday, and Texas A&M blew out the second seed North Carolina. So amazingly, half of the top 12 seeds in this tournament are out. So there are some blue bloods still remaining, including Kansas and Villanova and Kentucky, but there is likely to be an unusual number of teams getting toward the Final Four here that haven't had that kind of success in the past.
All right, Cole, so let's go from hoops to the Jags.
Big week for the Jaguars in free agency. They added seven new players, including Andrew Norwell, the guard, who was the first-team All-Pro, meaning he was selected as the best left guard in football last year. And General Manager Dave Caldwell said not only did he play that way, but he earned it. So they've added help on the offensive line. They've added a wide receiver in Dante Moncrief, a couple of tight ends, a cornerback, couple of defensive backs. They also kept Marquise Lee. The Jaguars got better this week. They did lose Paul Posluszny to retirement, and both Allen Robinson, the wide receiver, and Aaron Colvin, the cornerback, went elsewhere. But it's the Jaguars team that found that after their success this past season, players from around the league were much more interested to have conversations about what was going on in Jacksonville. Dave Caldwell alluded to it that in the past, years ago, because the Jaguars were having such a hard time, they couldn't even get free agents on the phone sometimes to talk to him about potentially coming to town. That was not the case this year. They were able to land one of the biggest free agent additions available in free agency and some other key players. So the Jaguars got better this week, and I think it's a big sign that this is a team that's going to continue to contend in the AFC South. And they, interestingly enough, Jessica, on the wall of their team meeting room, put a replica sort of poster of the Lombardi Trophy, the trophy that goes to the Super Bowl champs. So it's very clear their goal is to win the Super Bowl this year.
Eyes on the prize.
And, exactly.
And what is up with the world of golf this week, Cole?
Yeah, quickly with Tiger Woods. For the second straight week, Tiger was contending. He finished fifth at Bay Hill. That's Arnold Palmer's Invitational. Tiger has won that tournament eight times before. Rory McIlroy got the win. And while Tiger is not back to his old self, he's looking better and better each week. He's not committed yet to play in the Players' Championship. I wouldn't at all be surprised if he decided to play there. He hasn't won a tournament on the PGA Tour in 4.5 years, but two consecutive weeks of being able to contend, be right among the top five, be right there at the end. I think we're going to see Tiger Woods win again, which is something a couple of years ago some people thought we would never see. I'm not sure if he's ready to win a major, but I do think he's ready to win on the PGA Tour.
All right, folks, that's WJCT sports analyst Cole Pepper. He's here every Monday morning. Thanks, Cole.
Thanks, Jessica.
And that is our show. Thank you to all of our guests and our caller this morning. Our producer is Kevin Merchart, and he's on the board this morning, too. The show's theme song is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Never miss a show. Listen anytime at WJCT.org or the NPR One app. Catch us this evening at 8 o'clock, or you might be listening to the replay now. If you're not listening to the replay, next on 1A, the president has spent the weekend attacking special counsel Robert Mueller, former FBI Director James Comey. His supporters are convinced he's the victim of a witch hunt. That's next. I'm Jessica Palumbo. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9. So-